This is J. Dan Gill with 21st Century Reformation, and we're just excited today to have with us Kerry Clark, our good friend, Bible teacher, missionary, and we're just happy to have you with us today.
It's good to be here. Good to see you again.
Indeed. We had to come all the way to California. We're nearer L.A., near Los Angeles.
Right, and we were jealous that you got to go to Germany and we didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah.
You know, we lived there 12 years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a good part of our life.
Well, I have to say, we were there for all of a week, but we enjoyed it a lot. It was very, very nice, very exciting, and a beautiful country, I think.
Right, and God is doing some exciting things there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, you were there for quite a long time.
Yes, we were.
When did you first go to Germany?
The first time we went to Germany was probably around 1988. We had been in Austria with Werner Bartel, who you know.
Yes, yes.
And he was a new Christian at that time, very excited about the Lord, and a lot of kids that were in drugs and shacking up and those kind of things were coming to the Lord on the street, and we were in Spain.
Oh, wow.
And I had gone to Vienna for a conference, and I taught there for 2 weeks, and that's where Werner and I got acquainted. And then for 2 years he kept writing us and calling us on the phone and saying some exciting things are happening. We need somebody to come and help us.
Wow.
We need a teacher. So that's how we ended up first going to Austria, and then we were with a similar group to his in Germany.
Okay. So you were in Spain first, then you went to Austria, spent a while there. But by when did you actually move to Germany then?
We actually moved to Germany, and I think it was 1988.
So you've been sort of connected to Werner then for quite some years.
Right. Actually, we met him shortly after he gave his life to the Lord.
Wow. Great guy. I really think an awful lot of him. I think he's a wonderful fellow.
We learned the language.
Wow.
Learned Spanish before that, of course.
Now, what area in Germany were you in?
We were in several places in Germany. We were in Traunstein, which is just a little ways from Salzburg, Austria.
Okay.
The border's right near there.
Beautiful country down there.
And then for a little while, we were near Munich.
Okay.
And we were improving our German there, going to the... They call it the Volkshochschule, which means the people's high school.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
And then the borders came down between East and West, and with some of the young people that we'd gotten acquainted with through Werner and through a couple of groups in Germany, we took kids into East Germany. Right while the walls were coming down.
Oh, wow.
And we did street theater.
Wow.
With a message.
Okay.
And it was fascinating because the East Germans were not used to anything like that. We had just crowds of people coming around and sitting right down on the cobblestone pavement.
Wow.
Giving their lives to the Lord.
That's tremendous. I love it. Well, now you have retired from your missionary work at this point, but you're actually, or at least you're back in the States. Now, where are you at now? You're in...
We're living in El Cajon on the outskirts of San Diego.
Okay. California. All right.
California.
So then, but where did you hail from originally then? Let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Well, I was born in Abington, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. My dad was a Baptist preacher.
Wow, okay.
And he was pastoring a little country church in a place called Hilltown.
Hill.
When I was born, March 24, 1935.
Wow.
And it happened to be Easter Sunday morning. Then he pastored in the middle of the state in a coal mining town, and then on the Delaware, on the Susquehanna River in a place called Danville, and from there back near Philadelphia. And then when I was 13, we took a jump all the way from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California.
Oh, where we're at now, okay.
Right, so I went to Bob Jones University.
Okay, in South Carolina?
In Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
And while I was there at Bob Jones, the very first year I became good friends with the guy from Guatemala. His name was Rene Zapata, and his cousin And some other guys had graduated from Bob Jones, and they went back to Guatemala and started the first Christian high school. And so they wanted a group of musicians to come with Renee, who was a good young preacher, and represent the school all over Guatemala and to evangelize at the same time. So I play the trumpet, and Renee asked me if I wouldn't go. That was my sophomore year, and so I said yes. One of the neat things about the trip, we drove all the way to Guatemala. It was quite a trip back then. Some of the roads were really interesting, to say the least.
So this is why you were attending Bob Jones University.
This was Bob Jones in my sophomore year.
This is basically your first trip of this kind of ball.
My first real mission trip.
Okay.
And on the way from Greenville, our first stop was Atlanta, Georgia. All of the students were home for summer vacation. And we were in charge of a Youth for Christ rally on Saturday night.
Okay.
And as I stood up to play my trumpet, I looked out into the audience and I saw a girl that I had seen at Bob Jones, but I didn't know her.
I see.
She had long red hair and she was always laughing. And there she was. I almost stopped playing the trumpet, but I made it through. And at the end of the meeting, she came up and she knew the other three guys in our team, but we didn't know one another. And she asked us where we were spending the night. One of the wise guys in the group said, well, we could spend some of the little money that we have and stay in a hotel if we have to. She said, y'all don't have to do that. She was a good Southerner. She said, two can stay at my house and two can stay at the Smith's house. So we went up behind the curtain and flipped a coin to get to see who got to go to her house. And Mel Bittner and I, the guy that played the piano in our group, we went to stay at her house.
All right.
And I'm looking out this way. The people that are watching this don't know that, but I'm looking at that redheaded gal. We've been married now for 53 years.
Oh, wow.
And she's followed me everywhere that the Lord has called us to go.
Fantastic. So at all the trip to Guatemala, and then after you got out of Bob Jones, did you pursue other missionary work at that point?
Or? I did. You know, I noticed something when we went to Mexico and Guatemala, where we did run into missionaries. We noticed that a lot of them lived on compounds back at that time.
Okay.
And they went out from their compounds to do mission work, but a lot of them had not learned the language very well, and they lived kind of isolated from the people.
I see.
And I'd noticed that foreign students came to Bob Jones from all over the world. They lived in the dormitories with the rest of us. We all ate together, and they were just totally immersed in our culture.
Wow.
And in our language, and just adapted wonderfully. So I wanted to do the same thing in reverse when we graduated from Bob Jones, and I wrote to a Bible Institute in Guatemala that I had seen, and they said, no, we don't have any North Americans, we only have Latin Americans. And I heard about another school, the Seminario Biblico Latinoamericano, which in English would be the Latin American Bible Seminary. And I wrote to them, and they wrote back and said, well, we've never had a North American at our school, but it sounds interesting. We would be glad to have you. So my newly wedded wife and I went there. She was several months pregnant by the time we got there.
Wow.
We just had a wonderful time. We lived like the students did. We ate our meals with the students. We were just totally immersed, and it was a fabulous opportunity and a fabulous experience. And that's where our first son was born.
Oh, wow.
David. And he is, interestingly enough, he was also born on Easter Sunday morning.
Really?
But it wasn't March 24, it was April 6.
I see.
Well, something happened in Mexico. Also was a powerful influence on my life. As Baptists, we stayed away from Pentecostals.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And when I was in Mexico, I like to say that I went to evangelize the Mexicans, and the Mexicans evangelized me. But I went one time to a church in Mexico City that it had a prayer chain for 28 years, day and night.
Wow.
It started out as a little group, and the pastor, Josue Mejia, and one of his elders went out to a place on the outskirts of Mexico City called the Desert of Lions, Desierto de los Leones in Spanish. And they said, Lord, we're not leaving this place until you do something for us. The work is not growing. There's something lacking in our lives. And they were both powerfully baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And he came back and called the church to prayer. The Spirit of the Lord fell on the church. They started a prayer meeting. It was a real sacrifice to have somebody always in their little meeting place day and night in prayer. They took turns going there. When I went, that prayer chain had been going for 28 years.
My gracious.
And the church had grown to thousands.
Wow. Yeah.
Through the power of the Spirit.
Tremendous.
And when I walked into that place, I felt the presence of God like I had never felt his presence anywhere in my life. And not to make the story any longer, because of that experience, I began to hunger for more of God's Spirit. And in Iguala, Mexico, when I was about 25 years old, I also was powerfully baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Okay.
And that shook me, because I had been taught that that was no longer for today. So that was the first time that I began to question my whole belief system, you might say, most of the things.
That way in which you were raised, where that by the age of seven, you're kind of locked in. It's hard to get away from those things, but here you are.
So I asked myself, maybe I missed it somewhere else as well.
Ah, okay.
But I know you're interested in knowing the development. Well, we went from Mexico to Chile, and then from Chile to Spain.
Okay.
And actually, for years, I kept that experience that I'd had quiet because I didn't want to lose the Baptist support.
I see it.
But we came to a crisis in Spain with some military, the children of Spanish military officers who came to the Lord. And at the beginning, when they first came to the Lord, they were happy and full of joy at having found the Lord, or the Lord having found them. But then after a while, I noticed that there was something depressing them. And so I got the little group together and I said, you started out so happy, but there's something wrong. They said, well, our parents found out we're coming to non-Catholic meetings, and they've threatened us, and they've strictly forbidden us to come, and said that they're going to punish us severely if we keep coming. I said, well, you're still coming. They said, yes, but when we go home, we don't tell the truth. Tell them we've been to Monse's house or to Antonio's house. We don't tell them where we've been. And I said, you can't do that. I said, if God has done something in your life, you need to be open about it. And when I said that, I felt like the Lord said to me, what these kids need is the power of my Spirit.
Wow.
The very thing that you're keeping quiet to keep your support is what they need.
Wow.
So I struggled, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I talked with my wife, and struggled some more. And finally, I wrote a letter. And at that time, I would send our prayer letters to a man in Pennsylvania who would duplicate them and send them to all of our supporters. And I wrote, and I told very openly about my experience with the Holy Spirit. And I even said, and as in the book of Acts, it happened many times in my case, I did speak in tongues, because I knew that was going to be their question. Well, within less than 2 months, we lost all of our support.
Oh my goodness, isn't that something?
But God began to fill the young people with his Spirit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And over the next 2 years, through what we were doing and other things in a city that had had no Protestant work of any kind, our little group, there were something like between 250 and 300 young people that came to the Lord, many of them baptized with the Spirit. We were baptizing them in a river by a little village outside of the city of Burgos. It was just a fabulous time.
Wow.
So we stayed for a little over a year, And then eventually we felt the Lord was just telling us to come back, and that's when we went to Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah.
And we were in a charismatic church there, and I met a guy, and I learned to weld to make a living.
Ah, okay.
Was working and welding at the shipyards in Superior, Wisconsin, just across from Duluth, Minnesota. And I had a buddy that I welded with sometimes, and he knew that I'd been a missionary, so he invited me to a missionary conference. I had already had some questions, by the way, about the Trinity. This was a United Pentecostal church. Then they had an emergency. One of the United Pentecostal missionaries in Martinique had an emergency, so the pastor knew I had been a missionary and asked my wife and I if we wouldn't go and take their place until they were able to take care of their emergency and get back there. So they asked us to fill in in Martinique.
That's in the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean.
Okay, yes.
It was a wonderful experience there. I had studied a little French, and when we got there, I just immersed myself in French. And after a couple of months, I started writing my messages out in French.
Wow, okay.
But we were caught up in the oneness doctrine.
I see.
We got active. We went to Martinique. It was a wonderful experience. And when we came back, we baptized people there, and the work had prospered while we were there. So the United Pentecostal Church talked to us about going to Spain, where we had been as Baptists.
I see.
And we were glad to consider that and did go to Spain. Well, we then, after being in Spain, as I said earlier, we were then in Austria, and we were in Germany.
And then in Germany. Yeah.
And when we were in Austria with Werner, he and I, we were both strong oneness. And we had some, as I say, some wonderful experiences taking young people at midnight that we'd met on the streets and were totally lost. We took them to places and baptized them in Jesus' name.
Wow.
And then prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Just some wonderful experiences there. And the work, every week people were coming to the Lord.
Tremendous. Well, let me understand that. You started out as a young man. Let me see if I can rehearse this. You started out as a young fellow, the son of a Baptist minister.
Mm-hmm.
In California.
Had a great dad.
Great, wonderful. And then you had an amazing Bible study group, whatever, while you were in high school. Went to Bob Jones University,
mm-hmm.
One of the great conservative fundamentalist universities. And then worked into missionary efforts in South America and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
In Mexico.
Which immediately began to create problems with your Baptist affiliations, or it eventually did.
Yeah.
But had questions about this whole Trinity business. It was troublesome to you. Found your way to the Oneness Pentecostal Movement, United Pentecostal Church, where you served as a missionary.
And met some wonderful people.
Fantastic, absolutely.
Met some wonderful people.
No better people, I think, just wonderful. And then, for goodness sakes, progressed from that to your view of God today. Mm-hmm. You have just come all the way. What do you think? This is an amazing thing. That's incredible.
It's a glorious journey. Sometimes I wish I had come to this many years ago. I was thinking today, as I was listening to different people talk, and the enthusiasm that the people here have for this wonderful truth, knowing that the Father is the only true God, and that Jesus, my Lord, is my elder brother.
Wow, yes.
A man of flesh and blood as we are, but without sin.
And God's truly begotten Son.
And God's truly begotten Son.
Wow, yeah.
And not only today, but I think of it constantly. They knew all of the truth, but it had to be inflamed with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.